Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jesus, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. Me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with the legend, Ray Sefo. My man, I had the honor of watching some of your fights last night. You know, you're such a nice guy and like very professional and like, you know, you're just like a, I always see you training people. You forget how much of a fucking animal you were. Oh my God. Your fights were outstanding. I don't even know why I talked about PFL first or your fights, but just like, first of all, the Mark Hunt fight, which I'm sure you get asked about the most. You took bombs. You took so many punches from Mark Hunt and just kept going forward and landed them. Was that one of your favorite fights?
Hey, good to see you, brother.
Good to see you, man. Good to see you.
You know, the crazy thing about that fight was the game plan was I knew I was quicker than Mark. I knew power for power. We were, you know, we're pretty, you know, in my opinion, we were pretty even. But the game was to make him miss and counter, right? But when Mark came out like a beast and started just throwing bombs, I was like, all right, we're doing it this way then. So we ended up being a slugfest.
It was honestly like amazing. Probably one of the best fights I've ever seen.
You know,
it was amazing.
The funny thing is I could hear my brother and my corners going, what are you doing? Keep your hands up. Stick to the game plan. No, yeah. We're already out the window.
Oh, out the window. I mean, so many of your fights. I mean, first of all, congrats with the PFL, by the way.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
Now, how are you feeling about the season, about the success? How are the ratings? Talk to me.
Yeah, no, so far we haven't got the ratings back yet. But, I mean, like last night was a great show. We had a couple of fights fall out. But all in all, I think the way the guys fought last night made up for for a couple of fights I was missing. We had 8 fights, 5 finishes. I think 4 of them were in the first round. So, yeah, no, everybody showed up last night. I was pleased with the way the guys performed last night. Last week we had the featherweights and the lightweights. And they also, you know, showed up. And so it was good to see that. A lot of upsets, though. But, you know, it makes it for a good story for the second time around, for the second part of the regular season.
No, I love it. I think that like the PFL is the most fair promotion because it's a tournament and it doesn't matter how many followers you have. It doesn't matter how many, some of these guys, I can't even pronounce their names. That like when I was working with the PFL, which I still am, but when I was working like doing those videos, I'm like trying to write jokes about some of these guys and you got to go like 9 pages deep in the Google to find like, to find like their favorite color or something or their favorite food. I'm like, it's hard to write a joke about these, but they're all like from Dagestan, like 13-0 with like 13 stars.
Right.
It's crazy. But you guys, it's fair though, which is great. You know?
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing, you know, like you said, you know, the season allows these guys to fight, where they, you know, where they place in terms of how the outcome of the fight, should I say, whether it's a first round, second round, third round finish, or it's a decision, they'll earn those points, and those points sits them in the playoffs. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, if you win, you're moving forward. If you lose, you're going home.
And, you know, what's crazy is that I talked to so many fighters that, like, came over from the UFC, I think it was last year, a bunch of guys were just getting knocked out quickly because they were like, oh, 6 points. I'm just gonna throw bombs, and then they were getting caught. Like, and they learned quickly. All right, this is not the right strategy. It's sort of like a different kind of fighting in a lot of ways.
Well, yeah, it's you got to be aggressive, but at the same time, you got to be smart. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's more kind of like a Sugar Ray Leonard kind of fight. You know, it's very intelligent, really amazing in the ring. His IQ in the ring is amazing. So a lot of these guys, you know, obviously everything's got to balance out, because the faster you win, the more points you earn, the better you sit in the playoffs. And so, you know, I get it. You know, a lot of these guys want to go out there and get that 6 points, and which last night, you know, we had quite a few that won by submissions. Rory and Ray, Rory McDonald and Ray Cooper were two guys I thought they were going to come out swinging. But they were really smart in the way they attacked the fight, you know. And Ray didn't even throw one punch, ended up with a submission.
That was crazy. And that, I mean, it was like an arm triangle from like what I thought,
right,
like the wrong
from
side.
From half guard.
Yeah, because I'm watching with my buddy and I'm like, oh, he's not going to get this. I'm like, it's at the wrong side. My buddy's a black belt. And he's like,
right.
My friend said, yeah, but you don't understand, like, how strong these Hawaiians are and guys like Ray Cooper, that submissions work when they're not supposed to work.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. Like, you know, when I was watching that and I was like, yeah, it's rare you see, for example, Martin Hamlet. He ended up submitting, getting that arm triangle over Dan Spahn from the guard.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think I've ever seen that done before. And I was asking Kenny Florian, and Kenny was like, yeah, you know, it's possible when you got a guy that's strong like that, but it's rare because, you know, not many, well, once they get that, you're either on the side and, you know. But we ended up getting two of those last night. Ray from half guard and the other guy from full guard. So it was funny.
Now, when you get guys like Anthony Pettis or Verdum, these big names, right? And I heard that Verdum got $1 million signing bonus. That's the word on the street. I don't know if that's true or not. but
I've heard that everybody that we assigned from, you know, those big names got $1 million bonus.
Okay, all right, that makes sense. Okay. But when you get a guy like Pettis, right? And everyone's tuning in to see Pettis, right? And then he just loses to Clay Collard, right? Now, you as the president, are you thinking like, oh, well, this is good because it's making our guys look really good? Or are you thinking, oh, man, like if he doesn't make the playoffs, that's going to be a rate. People are not going to tune in to see Anthony Pettis. And the average person who knows him now is going to, that's gonna kind of like a bad thing for you guys.
Well, I mean, listen, once these guys going into the season, you know, and the final, obviously this year's 10, anything can happen. That's the thing with the fight game. It's like you could be the best of the best, and the night might not be yours. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You could be a average Joe Blow, and it's your night. You know, it's just one of those things where, listen, I when that match was, I knew that the striking department would be very kind of even. But I thought, you know, with Pettis's experience and his ground game, and that might have given him the little bit of an edge. But Clay Collard is one of these guys that can't be denied. Like, he's when I made the phone call to him that Anthony Pettis was his opponent, he was screaming, like, and so happy about the opponent. Like, he really wanted to fight Pettis. And so, you know, and the lead up to it, he was so confident that he could beat him. You know what I mean? And so, it's one of those things where, yeah, was it going to be a good fight? 100% I knew it was going to be a good fight. Was it going to be the outcome where it was up in the air? Yeah, I didn't know who was going to win that fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the Bubba Jenkins one was that one, because I'm friends with Bubba. I know Bubba for years. And he's always a guy that, like I say he gets it his own way. He denies that, right? But he's a guy that, like, went to Penn State, was, like, ranked second in the country, got kicked off the wrestling team, came back, beat the guy that replaced him in the finals. Like, he kind of needs that extra motivation. And when he told me he got divorced recently, I'm like, oh, dude, he's going to win this fucking tournament. I'm like, he just got divorced. $1 million is in front of him. And he's fighting a guy. Like, I'm like, Bubba's a guy that, like, you put, like, he's one of the, to me, he's, like, one of those guys that, like, trains hard, really hard, but then when the girls start watching practice, then he just starts beating everybody. Like, he's just that guy. So that $1 million, is just, I think, is going to bring out the best in him. Were you surprised how bad he beat Lance Palmer?
I was. I was surprised. You know, obviously, you know, Lance, I've spoken to Pete at some point last week, and you know, and he said, yeah, definitely wasn't his night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Lance couldn't get off. Bubba was pretty much controlling where that fight went. And, you know, he showed his, I mean, he showed that he's definitely going to be here for a while.
Yeah. Nah.
You know what I mean? And so, no, I'm happy for him. You know, it is what it is. And this is the game. It's like, you don't know until that, you know, that final bell rings, whether it's going by decision or you're winning by knockout or submission.
Now, how hard is it for you? Because you're at a gym, you're at Extreme Couture, and you see all these talented people, and they all see you, and they know you, and there's $1 million, and they're like, oh, fuck. How much are you getting guys like, hey, what's up, Ray? How's it, my man? Like, what's going on? What are you doing later? Like, hey, I got a gift for you, girl, your kids. Like, is that?
Yeah, it happens all the time. Not so much the gifts, but in the, they'll come up and talk to me about they would love an opportunity to fight and that kind of thing. And then, of course, you know, if they're serious and I got to look at their record, where they fought, who they fought, how many fights they've had, you know, and a lot of them are like 4-2 or 4-1. Obviously, you can't get into the season because the commission wouldn't allow somebody like that to fight guys that had, I mean, if you look at Lance Palmer or Rory McDonald or Ray Cooper, they've had over 20 fights.
Yeah.
You know? And so, you know, obviously to get into the season, you got to be experienced or have at least enough experience to be able for the commissions to allow them to fight.
Right. But is it hard sometimes, like, where you're too close to a guy where you, like, almost sometimes don't give him the thing because you're like, it would look like we're best friends? Or do you like maybe not like a guy, but he you're like, oh, this guy's good, but I fucking hate him. What an asshole. But I know.
No, I'm
good. I mean, is it hard to separate yourself?
No, I'm a very straight shooter. So if you're a talented fighter and I don't like you, and you know, I know that you can be something in the cage, then you know, I definitely would still give you an opportunity.
Oh,
if you're a guy that I, you know what I mean? And if you're a guy that I like and your record's not so great, I tell you straight. You know what I mean? I'm not afraid to be honest with these guys.
Now, by the way, Gleison Tibau, how do I get a body like that at age 70? Like, that dude.
He's 70 already?
I mean, they should have had random drug testing during the fight. Like, they should have came. I'm just saying, that guy looks huge. Holy, that. I mean, that dude is whatever.
They get tested when they get here, and then they get tested again after the fight.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. Yeah, I remember last year, a couple guys, one guy made the finals and, like, popped.
In 2019, we had 5 people that popped.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You're an idiot. I mean.
Yeah, I don't get it. You know what I mean?
You're fighting for
$1 million and to feed your family, but you're gonna use some dumb silly thing to, you know, to prevent that from happening.
By the way, Tyler Diamond, I'm happy for him because he was like almost out of the business. Like, he's a guy that made the finals, the Ultimate Fighter, lost one fight to Bryce Mitchell, and then he was like had a food company with his wife, and I don't even like it was just sort of like, and I was so happy you guys gave him a shot. Because there was a guy that just kind of fell in the cracks.
Right, right. And, you know, I don't know if you heard, but he ended up fracturing his orbital bone where he may be out.
Oh,
you know,
on.
A poor guy catch a break.
man.
And I think he just had surgery. Now, I've heard from his manager saying that apparently the doctor told Tyler that after a week of his surgery, he could go back to training and he would be okay to fight again in June.
Okay.
So, you know, so I'm not 100% sure yet if that's, what the doctor said, or that's because Tyler, being the fighter that he is, wants to continue fighting. You know what I mean? So obviously we got to get that paperwork and make sure that he's clear to go. But if he is, if it is true, he's definitely coming back in June.
Good. What happened with Jordan Young? I felt so bad for this guy. He weighed in three times, and like Vinny got too fat. Like what happened?
No, he I mean, he had three different opponents throughout from the start of the when the season was set up to when Vinny missed by 0.4, I think it was.
That's it.
That's it. But that wasn't the reason why he didn't fight. The reason why he didn't fight is that he ended up cramping, and then we had to call an ambulance, which then he went to the hospital, and then he was admitted in the hospital for one night. And so, you know, obviously safety first.
Yeah.
But unfortunately for, and then we had we had an alternate that was here, and this dude just wasted everybody's time. And not only wasted everybody's time, but he also, he actually took an opportunity that somebody else could have had.
So he weighed in.
You know what I mean?
Got in the guy's face.
He weighed in. He made weight. Got in the guy's face. I called him that Vinny was out. He was in. He goes, oh, am I the only alternate? Is there another alternate? Yeah, it was crazy.
And he came here from, like, Dagestan or something, right? He came all the way over here? Like,
well, when I, no, no, he was already in camp. I think somewhere in Chicago or somewhere like that, in the Midwest. And it was just crazy. I mean, to say the least, I was pissed off because he actually gave up an opportunity.
Yeah, of course.
That someone else could have had, you know? Or should I say he took an opportunity that someone else could have had and then didn't end up fighting.
Now what's going on with Smolino Rama? Is he...
I don't know. The last time I talked to Ali, his manager, yeah, he was still in hospital.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I guess his apartment had mold in it. And, apparently it got on his chest. And, the thing is, I hadn't heard from him for a while. And then when I spoke to Ali said, yeah, he was trying to, sorry, he, I get a phone call from Ali saying, hey, have you heard from Rama? And I'm, nope. And so 2 weeks go by and nobody had heard anything from him. So we were starting to get worried and then found out that he was in hospital.
That dude, like, I met him in Calgary. He came to my show by himself and gave me a tour. He's doing like 180 miles an hour. I'm scared shitless afterwards. And he's like, I used to bounce over there, but I got fire for biting someone's face. And then he had that dude's a maniac. I love him. Then he came to my show in Long Beach and he's like, the waitress is hot. And he's like, yo, I'm going to get her. I'm like, yeah, right. 3 seconds. She's back at his place. Like this dude, like he's a character and a half. But I love that guy.
I tell you what though, he's a great talent.
Yeah.
Like, he's a great talent. But just, I don't know his, I think he's got to figure out his life because, you know, he's been running into some bad luck and whatnot.
Yeah,
so.
Mold, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And now, Camozzi looked great last night. I was,
yeah.
That broke my heart. He was beat. I mean, if he just had a little bit more gas, I think he would have won that fight.
The fight was going back and forth. I couldn't have picked who was going to. I mean, Emiliano could kind of, I think controlled two rounds. But yeah, it could have gone either way too. So,
oh, no, during that fight, I'm like, man, Emiliano, this is not the fight you want to get into against this guy. Like this dude's like he told me that if he had got cut from the UFC, he was just gonna go town to town and fight people, like in their local like fair.
He's
like,
tough as nails.
He just loves fighting. Like he just, right. It doesn't matter who, what, where. He wants to fight. So I'm like, that's not the guy you want to go punch or punch with. It's Chris Camozzi. Like, he's got a big, dumb head, and he could take punches. But, yeah, I was like, oh. Now, you guys are, like, doing some crazy – now, you have your own cryptocurrency?
We do.
Yeah, according to your website, you guys have your own coin. Do you know anything about this? You developed your
own. No, it's probably something to do with, yeah, I heard something, but I thought it was something to do with social media and whatnot. That team.
All right. No, you guys have your own, you guys have your own token.
Okay.
Good job. Now, as far as the girls, right? 155-pound women. Like, right. Kayla Harrison is a monster. And I think she's the most underappreciated athlete in all of sports. The girl won 2 gold medalists. She's, like, had a horrible, like, thing where, like if you look at her past, this guy was, like, her doctor was doing all kinds of shit. She got him thrown in jail. Like, had a tough life. The sweetest woman, but also, like, a fucking badass. Only girl to ever win the gold twice. Like, her and Ronda hates her. Like, they're like frenemies, but they have like a rivalry going on. But
oh, really? Oh,
there's like I a didn't weird, know that. They like each other, but they don't. Like, anyway, but she just, I feel like you guys can't market her because she just murders everybody. I feel like she should be like, you know, like one. Is it hard finding these girls that are 155?
It is. Well, you know what? To be honest. I thought it wouldn't be because there's a lot of girls at 45 that has to cut a lot of weight. And yeah. I thought a lot of these girls would fight at 55, but obviously I was wrong. There are some that's, you know, that's made that transition, but not as many as I thought it would be.
Yeah, but you got some cool girls in there. You got I like who you signed. I really do. You got Cindy Dandois, who's right. like, she's like a Belgium hottie. She's like a teacher that got fired for having an OnlyFans account. I mean, she's just like wild, but like fun, and kind of hot in a weird kind of way. So you got her, who I like. You got Caitlin Young, who has like, that girl's got you ever see her knockout of Misha Tate?
No, I haven't. She
knocked her out in 30 seconds. It was
is that on YouTube?
Yeah, it was Misha's first fight ever, and Kayla head kicks her, like straight, like doo, and good for Misha for like coming back and, you know, becoming Misha Tate, but right. Yeah, but Caitlin Young's got like a crazy story. She's fought everybody, everybody, and she spent time over in Bangkok, and she's cool. I like it. I mean, I like it. I just wish that now. Is the goal to have Clarissa Shields versus, and not the goal, but that would be like versus Kayla Harrison. That would be like the fight, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like if you, you know, in a year or two with experience, obviously Clarissa would, you know, fit right now and in there. But at the moment, you know, obviously for us, it's just getting a few fights, to get a few wins. Be in the cage, feel comfortable in there, and then you know, we'll go from there. Listen, if they end up in the final, they'll meet in the final.
Yeah, because that would be huge. I mean, that would be like, she's, her boxing is outstanding. She's a gold medalist, right?
2-time.
Wow.
The only boxer in the history of, I believe, in the history of U.S. boxing that's ever won 2 gold medalists, just like Kayla. And they both won the same year their goals. They both won the gold back to back.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. Now, do they like each other? Are they friends? Is there any rivalry?
Yeah, they – no, I don't think there's any bad blood there. I mean, rivalry there because they train – they know each other, from obviously, from the Olympics and whatnot. And then she also trained down at American Top Team where Kayla trains for a little bit. But now she's moved camp, and Jackson, what I said now, meaning in the last couple of months, with the Jacksons, Jackson Wink.
That's going to be crazy. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, if they fight, Kayla can't keep it standing, and the other girl can't go to the ground. I mean, that's just like, a UFC 1 right there.
Right.
I mean, that's a crazy fight. And they're both really, really nice. I think Kayla's probably meaner. I don't know Clarissa that well. She has like a mean streak about her, though. Kayla.
I mean, they're really good people. They're really nice, easy to talk to. But you know, when that bell rings, I think they become this second personality or second person.
That'll be great. Now, I watched some of your fights last night, by the way. You fought everybody. I mean, you fought like Jerome the Banner and this one, that one, you know, your fight with Marvin Eastman was one of the funniest things I've ever seen, because it was in Vegas, and if people haven't watched, you watch it on YouTube. So you heard him. You heard him, and then he kind of went underneath the ropes. And the ref, like off the top rope, the ref stopped it. I don't know why the ref stopped it. I think he caught it. And then they just awarded you the win. And you were nice. You come over. And then he still wanted to fight you. He's like, fuck this. And normally when there's like a brawl after a fight, it gets separated. But you're just like, fuck it. And then just hit him. You hit him, knocked him down again with a beautiful left hook. That was crazy.
Yeah, listen, Adam, you know me. I'm a nice guy. But when it becomes... when you cross that line, you know, I'm going to be one of the meanest people you meet. And listen, it wasn't like at the end, it wasn't Marvin's fault. I think the referee made a mistake, because in the rules. So when I first hurt Marvin, it's when I threw the right hand, Marvin stepped back. I followed it with a head kick, the left head kick. My foot catches Marvin in the eye like this. Right. Yeah. So, and hence the reason why he was holding his eye. And the referees in the rules was, one, let me finish him, or two, stop the fight. Meaning, if he jumped in there, the fight was over. But instead of doing either of those two things, he actually took Marvin to the neutral corner, told me to go to the other neutral corner, and called the doctor in, which is not in the rules. And right. So, and for me, once I hurt you, I'm coming to finish you. So I watched him walk to the center of the ring. I walked to the center of the ring. He called fight. I jumped in him. I hit him. And then bing, bing, bing. He falls back into the ropes. The referee calls the fight. And I think during the time when the process of him calling the doctor in and all that, I think he realized that, no, that probably wasn't what supposed to happen. So once I heard him, he stopped the fight. You know what I mean?
Got it.
And of course, now Marvin is pissed. And then I go over to Marvin to say, hey, good fight, blah, blah. He's like, well, F that. You know, that was BS, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, listen, we can ring the bell again if you want.
Yeah.
But, you know? Right. And so he's like, yeah, let's go. So I step back, give him the benefit of the doubt. He stepped in, I hit him with a 2-3, and down he went again. And then hell broke loose.
It was crazy. I mean, that was nuts. Did you get fined for that, or was there any kind of?
Yeah, I did. I got fined for that.
Oh man, and that was crazy. The Bob Sapp fight was crazy too, because this is when Bob Sapp was trying to win, and he was still like Bob Sapp, and I kind of felt bad for you because he just came at you like a cartoon character would, where he puts his head down, and it's hard to defend a guy like that, right? Because they're not conventional fighters.
He's such a big guy though, you know. I mean, I think he weighed in at like 370 when I fought him. I went in at 230. I got the fight in 5 days notice. I was in Austria, funny enough. I was in Austria. I just landed in Austria, and I get a phone call from K1 saying, hey, we really want you to fight Bob. And I'm like, yeah, cool, I'm in. They said, I said, when? They said, Saturday. And I landed in Austria on Monday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, give me to tomorrow. So, and the thing is, I had, before I went to Austria, I had put myself through a camp, a nine-week camp, because I had broken my arm prior to that. And so after my arm healed, I put myself through a nine-week camp before I went away. You know, maybe I hadn't, you know, I had a feeling that something would come up. And of course that. And so the next day they called, I said, I'm in, flew there, and the fight happened. Now, Bob, the crazy thing about this is that, and I don't think I've told this to anybody. So, and Bob has this thing where at the press conference, he's grabbing people and, you know, and of course K1 has allowed it. And listen, and Ursa Hoos is, you know, he's a legend in the game, but he was pushed around at the press conference. And I called K1, I said, listen, tell Bob, I like Bob, but tell Bob, don't put his hands on me, because if he puts his hands on me, the fight's going to happen at the press conference. I promise, because I don't play like that. So they called Bob, and of course, Bob didn't come to the press conference.
Oh, wow.
So then when the fight happened, he was looking for any way possible to be disqualified.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? But the officials were, you know, they were adamant that there's no way that they didn't want that to happen. They wanted the fight to continue and not have somebody get disqualified. And of course, Bob was looking to get disqualified. Then eventually, you know, I stopped him.
No, that was awesome. I mean, it was awesome, but it was also like, I almost felt bad for you because I'm like, man, I don't know how anyone fights this guy. Because you could tell he was just throwing crazy behind the head punches. He didn't know what he was doing.
You know, the crazy thing is when I was in that corner, and these freaking hammer fists was coming down and hitting me in the back of the head and everything, I'm like, okay, I got to fight my way out of here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And once that happened, then I was like, okay, I'm done playing now.
Right. And then they have you against Hongmun Choi, who, I mean, this dude would look like nine people on top of each other. The guy has pretty good chin, though. Could you hit him with some bombs?
Yeah. I was surprised. I mean, he's 7'2". He also weighed in, I think, 360 or something like that. I hit him with freaking a lot of big shots, and I could see there's something happened, but he was just boom, boom, keep coming forward.
How do you even train for a guy like? I mean, do you just throw punches up? Like, how do you even like?
Well, luckily, I had Jan Norke, another one of my teammates from South Africa, who's 6'10", and so he was my sparring partner for that fight.
God, oh, wow, that's good. That's good. And then your Melvin Manhoef knockout was pretty damn awesome too, because that guy was a monster.
Yeah, no, Melvin Manhoef is a monster. You know, and I knew that fight. The funny thing is, when my music came on, and we were about to walk, I said to the guys, "This fight ain't going one round." And of course, my team were like, "Ray, you know what? Listen, I know how dangerous Melvin is. I like Melvin a lot, but I know the type of fighter he is. We're gonna stand and bang in the ring in the center, and I'm gonna put him away." And then, and that's exactly what happened. 30 seconds into the fight, it was over.
Exactly what happened. That was awesome. Now, as far as the PFL goes, some of the guys who made the finals last year didn't get brought back. Why did that happen?
2019?
Yeah. Yeah, 2 years ago. Yeah. Like the guy who fought Lance Palmer, Alex Gilpin, right, for example. He ended up losing to Palmer like three times. Was it just because you wanted to get
Originally, he actually didn't make the finals. He ended up making the finals because Pineda was out due to, you know, failing his drug test.
Right.
And so he was in. And then, of course, like, again, when that fight had happened over and over again, you know, people don't want to see the same fight.
Yeah.
Again and again. You know what I mean?
So is it like, are you guys going to do a thing where like every year you're going to have like 60% of new people just to keep it fresh?
Yeah. 100%. Yep. Yeah.
That's cool. I like that. That way it's not the same three guys every year winning it. Cause then that gets to be kind of like what, but then again, I mean, look, I mean, Nathan Schultz lost his first.
Right.
Dude, that was also crazy. Sword Eye almost lost and Lance Palmer lost. I mean, these guys might not even make the playoffs. I mean, they probably will, but they might not.
Well, and that's just it. Yeah. You know, it's especially because they didn't earn any points in the first round. So sticking around, they got to come down and try and finish.
Now, are you guys going to expand to more girl weight classes?
We are talking about it. Funny enough, a couple of nights ago, our chairman and CEO and myself, we were at dinner, and you know they brought that up. We are talking about it, but not sure exactly when that would happen.
You guys should do 105.
If not next year, probably the year after.
You should do 105. Just have weight classes no one else has. There's a bunch of good 105s out there.
That's true.
I actually talked to a girl yesterday who's like who almost made the Olympic team twice, like one match away. And she's like, tell Dana to get to 105. I'm like, yeah, right. I'm sure I'll just call. I'll call him right now.
I'm sure Dana gets that all the time.
Oh, yeah, right. Exactly. Now, what are your thoughts about Jake Paul? And then what happened with Ben Askren? You think this is good for MMA? Is this a sideshow? Can he beat Daniel Cormier in a boxing match? I mean, talk to me.
No, listen, credit to Jake Paul, but I had him winning that fight. There's no way that, in my opinion, because, number one, listen, Ben Askren has done some legendary things in MMA, but tell me one MMA fight that he's actually won a striking round.
I don't think he's landed a punch.
That's what I'm saying. So now you're putting up against a guy who has been training boxing, who has had boxing fights, who knows how to maneuver a little bit in the ring. And a guy that's MMA, probably, you know, Hall of Famer or not, former world champion. That doesn't, you know, those are two different sports.
Yeah.
I get it. You know, if it was someone like, who's a good boxer that's, you know, like John Usman. Jones or, say again?
Like Usman or something.
Or Usman, for example, right? Put Usman in there, yeah. Usman's got a really good chance of winning.
Yeah.
I mean, Cormier will kill Jake Paul because Cormier has won a lot of fights striking, and he can throw, and he has been training with a, you know, he's had a boxing coach as well as kickboxing as well as MMA, right? So yeah, someone like Cormier who is an amazing wrestler, but a lot of Cormier's fights he's won by knockout. You know what I mean? And so that. I don't see Jake Paul beating Daniel Cormier, but with the Askren fight, I knew that the outcome was going to be the way it was, right? But that doesn't diminish MMA or boxing. I mean, that's just a sideshow. You know what I mean?
I can't believe how good Askren did with as bad a striking he was. I mean, it shows you how important wrestling is. For a guy to win 19 fights, a Bellator championship and a ONE championship with, right, like, abysmal striking shows you how important wrestling is in MMA, you know?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, MMA was pretty much founded on jiu-jitsu and wrestling.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so the striking part, I mean, you know, you go back 20 years ago, all good strikers could barely, you know, survive in there. And nowadays, fast forward 20 years, you know, everybody now knows how to strike. Everybody now knows how to wrestle, defend, the takedowns, scrambles. You know, so, you know, the game is coming a long way. But, you know, these sideshows doesn't I mean, that's just all it is. It's a sideshow. That doesn't make Jake Paul an amazing boxer or Ben. I mean, it's just one of these things where and I think – Dana said it right. You know, there's a niche for them there, and there are people that like to watch that kind of thing.
Well, you've come a long way too, because I remember watching WSOF back in the day, and first you had Nick Newell, who's an amazing fighter with one arm, and I'm like, okay, great.
Right.
Then you had Matt Hamill, you had a deaf guy next, which is also great. Then you had two brothers fight each other. One of them who was a part-time crime fighter, who dressed up as a superhero at night. And then you had a brawl in the crowd, I think, like between the Diaz brothers and Dagestan. Yeah. You were there, right, when that brawl happened?
Oh, I was right in the middle of it.
What happened there?
I don't know. Well, I mean, obviously those guys, you know, there's bad between those guys. And their team says something else, and you know, to Habib's team, and then before you know it was on, you know. So we literally just ran in there and just kind of pulled people apart, and then I believe once the fight was over, it carried on outside somewhere. It was silly, but I don't know. Yeah, you know, I don't get it.
Were you tempted to start throwing bombs on people, or did anybody square up to you or anything?
Oh, 100. No, no, nobody squared up, but 100%. If I got touched, then all hell would have broke loose.
I remember actually my friend Tracy, she like, it was like her first time ever attending an event. I think Joey Vegas took her. Joey Varner took her. And then all of a sudden, there's like fights everywhere. And like, she's like, is this how it is? I'm like, no, that's not normally how Dagestan versus Stockton. I mean, that was crazy. That was crazy.
Yeah, it was.
So let's talk about the fights coming up next week, because next week, May 6th, PFL 3, 5:30 Pacific Eastern time, and then 9 o'clock Eastern time, which is awesome. So 6 days from now, it's Verdum versus Ferreira on that card. How's Verdum looking? Is he in shape?
He looks in shape. Yeah, he looks in shape. I saw him a couple of days ago.
Because when he's in shape, I think like he's another guy for $1 million. He's gonna take this very seriously. You know, he's gonna, because he knows that he could win it. You know, it's one thing when you're like, oh, it'd be good to show up, but a guy like Verdum, he could do some, you know, major damage in this one.
I agree. I mean, you know, he brings a wealth of experience. He's gonna go down in history as one of the greatest heavyweights to do it. You know what I mean? And so, that being said, he can't underestimate anybody in there because, you know, anything can happen in there. And all these guys, you know, when you're a big name like Verdum and Rory McDonald and Anthony Pettis, you know, right away you're being hunted by, you know, the other guys, because if they got nothing to lose, you know what I mean? They got everything to gain. And so you know, as talented as they are, you know, they can't, you know, take it lightly, because anything can happen in there.
Also on this card, we got Marias versus Harrison. Tell me about this girl, Marias.
Say that again?
You know anything about this girl, Marias, who's fighting Harrison?
Yeah. She actually won the IQS, International Qualifier Series in Brazil. First round knockout. She's got a big right hand. She comes from a kickboxing background. She's decent on the ground. But you know, the fight game is a fight game. We know. Listen, when I talk to Kayla's team, you know, they're saying that she's improved so much in her striking and she's putting things together really well. Obviously, you know, her ground game is, you know, second to none. So it's one of the things where Mariah's got to try and keep it standing, and Kayla's going to get it to the ground.
Yeah. Well, the other girl's also a brown belt on the ground. So, you know.
Right. Yeah. You know, Kayla, like you said, Kayla's a beast. You know, she's very strong on the ground. You know what I mean? And so would Mariah want to, you know, mix it down there? Possible, but when you're looking at someone like Kayla, who's, you know, strong and that's where she's, you know, the most strongest at.
Yeah.
I don't know if she wants to be down there with her. You know what I mean?
Also, we got Usman's brothers on the card.
Correct, Muhammad.
Yeah, that dude looks like a badass and a half. I talked to him. Nice guy. Really nice guy.
Super nice guy.
And he doesn't use the Usman name. Like, I mean, he does, but he doesn't go, oh, my brother, you know what I'm saying? He wants to make it on his own.
Right. And you know, good on him. But, I mean, listen, he supports his brother 100%. And, I mean, Kamaru put on an amazing performance the last one.
Hell, yeah. He's fighting Sales. And then my boy, Fat Daddy is his name, right? Is that the guy's nickname? Willis?
Big Pretty.
Oh, Big Pretty. It's not Fat Daddy. All right, it's not Fat Daddy. It's Big Pretty. I think I like Fat Daddy better, though.
Fat Daddy.
Justin Willis taking on Dennis Goltsov. By the way, we got Jordan Young with us, who we were talking about you, Jordan. Man, what's going on? What did you say to this guy at the weigh-in to make him – what did you tell this guy? You say, like, you get to pay him off, or did you bang his girl? What happened?
I told him the steroids weren't going to help him. That's exactly what I said.
You said that to him, like, at the weigh-in?
That's what I said. First of all, I put my hand out. And... Go ahead, Ray.
No. I'm saying, yeah, you did. I heard you say that. I'm like, correctly?
So you say the steroids aren't going to help you, and then the guy quits. I think maybe he took it to heart and realized steroids weren't going to help me.
Man, I don't know. There's some weird stuff going on with the guy. He got 2 records online. There's all kinds of stuff. I don't know. 2 different last names. I don't know who he is.
Man. You say the steroids aren't going to help you. The guy just fucking bails out. But you got to 3 points, though, which is good. Was this the 3 easiest? Points, but
yeah. It's all right. But I feel like I could have maybe got the first. I maybe would have had 5 or 6 points if we could have got out there. You know what I mean? But I'll take the 3. I'll take the 3.
That's true.
Yeah, but it's the easiest 3 points you ever got, right? I mean, all you have to do is make weight. So now you're 11. Now you're 12-1. This counts as a win. Now you're 12-1. Now, I've noticed that there's a change in Jordan, because when I met Jordan, he was a nice guy. He was like a bookworm. He wore a tie, and then all
he
of a sudden,
he still is a nice guy.
Yeah, but then his Instagram, he's like got like 13 like naked chicks with him, and like you got like Teslas, and you're wearing like these designer suits, like. What did you go into the coke selling game or something? Like what happened to you?
Nah, I didn't do anything like that. I just I like nice things, and I started as I got more successful in my career, I started rewarding myself with those things. That's all.
Hey,
it
Jordan,
is.
Remember when I said I was going to pay you your show and win?
Yeah.
but Ray has been driving like an 84 Buick. The guy was a world champion. And he never like, but you went crazy. Like Miami, you're just like, was that like an image thing? And someone say, hey man, you gotta do like, you gotta like lift it up the image and like make it, or that's just you.
I like nice things. And, if you
gotta
spend
spoil yourself,
money,
Jordan, right?
Uh-huh.
I said, you gotta spoil yourself. You work hard, so you gotta spoil yourself.
Exactly. You spend all your money, then you stay hungry, huh?
I like it. Now, I thought. Now, look, you're 11-1. I thought Bellator was like not really giving you the props. They were keeping you on the undercard, and I was like, dude, this guy's murdering people. He's finishing everybody. He's beating good guys too. They weren't giving you cans. You were beating good guys. How surprised were you that the PFL called you? How did that happen?
You know, when my contract was up at Bellator, I fought out my last fight on my contract, and I sat down with Dan Lambert, the owner of American Top Team, and we had a good conversation. And PFL was something that we felt would fit me well, and I had a good conversation with them, and they put more interest in me than Bellator did after 8 fights, you know what I mean? So it was a no-brainer where I wanted to go. Also, I like the format there, you know what I mean? It's really everything is earned and not given, and that's key.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're a hardworking guy, man, and you know you're obviously a great striker, great jiu-jitsu. You're training with the best guys over American Top Team. So who do you think? I mean, do you have a fight next? Who are you fighting next, and when?
You got to ask Ray. You got to ask Ray. I haven't got a chance to catch up with the brass yet. I don't know.
Yeah, his next fight is gonna be June 17th, I believe.
Okay. Do we know against who?
No, those matchups haven't been done yet. That just got, obviously we just got done with the light heavyweights and the cruiserweights last night. So
was there anybody you saw last night that really, sorry to interrupt, that really impressed you or surprised you?
I thought there was some good fights last night. There was some good finishes, more finishes than I thought. There was a couple fights. I thought maybe that I got a call there, but I thought maybe that the Daniel Spahn and Martin Hamlet fight would go to decision, but he had a good finish and he looked really strong out there. I think Cesar Pajero looked good, and I was a little surprised by the Camozzi and Sorty fight. I thought there'd be a finish there, and that one went to decision. So,
yeah, that was a great fight though. Holy shit! Like I was telling Ray, I'm like, you do not want to go punch for punch with Camozzi. That dude, like, he's got, like, he just, that's his thing. Were you surprised with Shoeface when he choked out Tom Lawler?
Yeah, for sure. I thought that was going to happen, though. That didn't surprise me at all, I should say. I knew that fight was going to end up on the ground, and I knew that Shoeface would dominate once it got there.
Well, that's your teammate, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been training with Shoeface for the last, like, 4 years.
Have you guys talked about fighting each other in the finals, if you have to?
If it's the finals, it'd be, you know, that wouldn't be too much of an issue, you know what I mean? Anything before that, we wouldn't favor, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I got it. How's your other boy looking, Poirier?
Poirier is amazing. Poirier is the best in the world. And now he's slanging hot sauce like a madman, huh?
Well, that's awesome. And then what happened with Colby at your gym? Are you and Colby still cool or no?
Nah. Colby is he's a different kind of guy. We don't even give him any mention.
All right, we're not giving a Colby mention. That's wow, not even mentioned. Got it. So now you're back in Florida?
Yeah, I just got back in Florida around noon, so I'm just settling back in my house now.
So how long were you in the PFL bubble for?
17 days. I went the whole 17 days, and it's not as bad as you think, Adam. If you take it as a business trip, then it's just business, you know what I mean? But if you go in there like it's jail, then it's going to be like jail.
Any women?
There's some, you see some women moving around, but they're not for you, though. They're not for you.
So you're in Atlantic City, women, there's a lot of, obviously, prostitutes and, like, just kind of easier type of women. And they're
not in quarantine, brother. Not in quarantine.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, fuck that. I'm not giving. Because every girl, you're like, that could be $1 million loss right there.
Yeah, $1 million loss. Exactly.
That's what I used to work. When I used to work cruise ships, I'm like, is this girl worth X amount of money that I'm going to lose if I get caught?
Adam.
Yes.
When you're in quarantine with this kind of view, it's not bad at all. You know what I'm saying?
That is nice. look at you. Look at you. Now, how's Kayla Harrison look?
She looks amazing. I got to catch up with her a couple times in the bubble because we overlapped, and I'm expecting her to repeat this year.
Now, people are saying Kayla and Nunez is the fight. Eventually, it's going to happen. You watch them train a lot, right?
No, I haven't caught any of their training sessions. I don't know if they do train together. That would be an interesting fight. I'm a big fan of both of them.
I know that's the word that's supposed to tell you to teach. Everybody, they'll probably tell you at ATT. When somebody asks, say that. Okay, but who wins in sparring? Come on, give us the goods.
I don't know, man. That's a different sparring time than where I'm at. I'm at 11. Know, at 12.
You hear, right? You hear, yo, fucking Kayla, put it on, fucking Nunez.
This guy's trying to get the lowdown. Look at you.
Nothing. You're not going to give us anything?
Let me ask you something. What's up with the crypto situation? Are we gonna have to run down on some guys or what?
Oh, dude, I made all this money in crypto back in the day, and I put my tokens in my wallet. But I didn't flip them before I did that, so I got my Ray tokens stuck in my own Ethereum wallet, and now they won't give them back to me. I'm like, but they're in my wallet. They're like, so Coinbase is like, yeah, but we don't support token. I'm like, but you don't support it, but you took the fucking transaction. So why would you do that? They're like, okay, you know what? You're right. We'll give you the money back by spring. We'll give you tokens back. And I'm like, the thing went from 110 grand to like 20. It went from 10 cents to 110,000 down to 30. So I lost. So I've had my own, it's like I robbed myself, basically. I'm like, they're in my wallet. Like, yeah.
I read about this on Twitter, and it's a nightmare.
It's a fucking nightmare. It's a nightmare. But thank you for bringing that up. I was in a good mood before.
But hey, I was too until you brought up the little rivalries in ATP.
Oh, sorry. Okay, fine.
Flipped it back on you.
That's good. Okay, good. All right, I like it. Now, Ray.
Did you hear about that guy that he had, I think, something like $1 billion worth of coins or whatever, something like that, but he's – forgot and lost his password?
Yeah. He has like, he had $1 billion, but he had 10 chances to get his password. And he went through 9 already. So he has like one
Russian roulette.
And then it's like, and then it's all gone if he gets it wrong again.
Oh man. God.
I don't know. But according to him, he's fine. He's like, I'm like, how much money do you have where you can afford to lose $1 billion? So Ray, what was it about this guy that made you want to sign him?
Who, the guy that made $1 billion?
No, we're talking to you right now about Jordan Young.
One, when I got talking to Jordan, I mean, you know, came across like a super intelligent guy, very smart. And I got to, you know, meeting him and everything. So His record speaks for itself and who he's fought. And I just felt like he was a perfect suit for the PFL.
No, he is, man. And he's one of those guys that I'm like, fucking, what do I got to do to get, like, everyone, like, I'm like, Bellator does that. They get these guys that are 8-0. The one guy they have who was a four-time national champion, Joey, what is his name? Joey, the guy was a four-time division two champion, never lost. And he's like 13-0 in Bellator. And they still stick him on the fucking prelims, which you can't even find half the time. You have to like, you have to know somebody who has a code to like fucking.
It's like know somebody to know somebody.
There's a fucking CAPTCHA system, and you have to like, what they're like, what's your first pet? You have to, and then you fill it in. And by the way, he's petting a woman right now. That's how fucking cool this guy is right now.
That's the greatest dog in the world. Don't do that. I got the biggest Great Dane out here.
Wow. Hey, but,
you know, what I was going to say is, you know, the difference, something that I like about the PFL as well is that unlike Bellator, even when you're on the prelims, that's prime time. ESPN Plus is a dream.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That's right.
That's what the UFC's on right now. And that's perfect. Everyone has ESPN Plus.
Dude, you're not even kidding. It's easier for me to find ESPN Plus than ESPN 2. Like, I had to, like, yesterday, I had to look for ESPN 2 on my TV. And ESPN Plus, I know already because
Well, Adam, ESPN 2 is that's just underneath ESPN.
I know. I'm also not the smartest guy. By the way, Ray, you know, I actually wrote the Geico commercial for Randy, by the way.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Nice.
For Randy and Kenny. And I also wrote something for Wiz Khalifa. But, yeah, how are you getting all these great, like, Wiz Khalifa? You have – who else? You have Ray Lewis.
Ray Lewis, Wiz Khalifa, Tony Robbins, Kevin Hart. I mean, the list goes on, you know?
Are you part of like that Illuminati or something?
That's what it sounds like. That's the name.
Like, how are you getting, like,
he just laughs at us, Adam.
Yeah. Talk to me, right?
And that's, you know, that's all, Don Davis' work, that's our chairman. I mean, you know, he knows how to connect people and bring people into the PFL as partners and whatnot. So, and all these guys, you know, putting money to be partners, and it's really cool.
Now, on a different note, Ray, are you training with Ngannou?
Yes.
Do you hate your brain? You went from being like David Tua's sparring partner for how long to Francis Ngannou? By the way, who hits harder, Tua or Ngannou?
I mean, they both hit hard. I mean, they're both and they're both great guys. But listen, I mean, Ngannou, Francis is a big, strong guy who's fast for a big guy. David Tua might not be as big, but yeah, he hits like a.
Hello? Yeah.
Like a horse.
Now, I heard from people that are like, I heard people from that say Ngannou doesn't know how to go 50%. That when it's sparring with him, it's just 100%. They say like when he goes, who wants to train? Everyone looks the other way. Or they like, they run. Or like, oh, I got, like my wife's calling or something. They run out of the gym.
No, that's not true. He doesn't go 100%. But yeah, you know, again, listen, his 50% is a lot of some other guys that's 100%, you know what I mean? So, for me,
hello, we're freezing. Fuck. I want to hear, that's how hard this guy hits. He like knocked out the Wi-Fi during the podcast. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah,
we can hear you.
Oh, you can hear me. Oh, yeah.
There you go.
No, you're saying his 50% is what?
No, I'm saying his 50% is some other guys is 100%. And, you know, and that's hard for a lot of people. And so, fortunately for me, you know, I've sparred and fought big guys like this all the time. And
yeah,
so.
No, yeah, no. Sean McCorkle told me that, like, you fuck up everyone at the gym. Like still, he told me that like when they spar with you, people are like, "Oh, come here, old man," and then you just fucking murder them. Guys like Vitor.
I wouldn't say murder them, but I mean, you know, I'm a very controlled spar guy.
Wow. I mean, that's pretty rad that you're still beating up everyone at the gym. Good for you.
Yeah, it's funny because before I came to quarantine and a couple of weeks sparring before that, we had a new guy, a couple of new guys, and after sparring, they were like, "Hey, Ray, how old are you?" I'm like, "I'm 50. No, what? Yeah, so it's, I love this, you know, I love sleep, eat, martial arts, you know what I mean? And so it keeps me grounded and leveled, you know what I mean? So, and allows me to do what I do every day. And man, I'm one of the, you know, again, when they say, when you love what you do, it's not work. And that's exactly what I do. I love doing what I do.
And like, plus Samoans don't age. Like, all right. I mean, have you ever seen an old Samoan? I've never seen. I mean, they come out of the womb like 37 pounds, but like they don't actually. Jay, Jordan, am I right? Have you ever seen?
I haven't came across like too many Samoans, but they're saying that I can't recall an old one though.
I'm telling you, it's different. So, all right. So listen, Jordan, you got 3 points. I know you three different guys. Fucking bailed on you. Vinny almost was there. He missed weight by 0.4 pounds and then had to go to the hospital, right?
That's right, yes.
Yeah, but why couldn't he go lay in the room and drink some water, start rehydrating that way, you know what I mean?
The thing was, he not only he cramped up, but he was having kidney failure.
Ugh.
That's what I was told. And then when he went to the hospital, they admitted him there overnight.
Is he well now?
Yeah, he's well now. Yeah.
It's good to hear that.
They said that he can't do anything for the next week, but before he can do anything, he's got to go get blood work done before that. So I think he's going to get that done, and then I'll know 100% whether he's in or out.
So Jordan, you win 3 more fights and you're a millionaire. No pressure, bro. no pressure, but you got 3 fights and you could win $1 million.
3 fights. That's right. 3 fights in the PFL and he's a millionaire.
That's awesome. Now, how many chicks are hitting you up from back in the day? you got one there? Got it. Okay, good. Good, good. Stay with her, Jordan. She's good. She's good people.
I'm just kidding, bro. No, I'm happy. I'm good at home. I got my 2 dogs right here. I'm chilling, bro.
Good.
Well, but Miami's a beautiful place, huh?
I hope you win the million, dude. I hope you win the million. Because you've been grinding for a while, man. You've been doing this for a while. I mean, how long have you been fighting for?
Professionally, I've been fighting for 5 or 6 years now. But 6 years now. But I've been training for 10 now, going on a decade.
Now, wrestling has been the one thing you didn't do, right? You didn't wrestle in college?
No, I didn't wrestle in college. I didn't go to college. I didn't wrestle in high school. I went to high school, though. And I was training MMA. You know, I started with MMA as a base. So it just felt like to do wrestling would be a step back from, you know, the finishing martial arts.
Well, the good news is a lot of guys in your weight class aren't wrestlers. But not that you wouldn't beat them anyway. It looks like Tom Lawler is, like, the only guy that really wants to – I mean – Ferreira's a jiu-jitsu guy. Shoeface is a jiu-jitsu guy. Hamlet seems like he's a striker. Sword Eyes is a jiu-jitsu guy.
Hamlet's
a Greco guy. He's going to try to put you down.
Oh, he's the wrestler. Oh, he's the guy. Yeah. He's the guy that kept taking it. All right, so we got to get ready for that guy. But you got Mako to train you for that, right?
Yeah, Mako Mondays. I'll be in there Monday, and I'm looking forward to it. Those are hectic Mondays. Yeah.
All right, and then you got Tom Lawler's a wrestler. Spohn's a karate guy. Kamozzi's just a brawler. Nick Rorick is probably still sleeping from last night. No offense to him. Smilino Rama is fighting. Rama's fighting. What did he have? Mold. And then and then Vinny Magalish. You know, Vinny's a jiu-jitsu guy, obviously. So it looks like there's only like 2 wrestlers, and that's the one thing that like that. Isn't your base, but
yeah, but I don't mind wrestlers. Wrestlers get, you saw what happened to Tom Lawler. He got submitted in the first.
Yeah,
that looks like easy 6 points. I don't want to act like that's a tough fight or something. You know what I mean?
At a MMA today, you can't be just a wrestler. I mean, you know, You got to be a all-around mixed martial artist.
And you also need the fuck out of these guys, too. Like, I've seen guys come in for double legs and just end up out cold because of your knees. So I like it. Well, people, everyone tune in. Thursday, May 6th, 5:30, 9 o'clock Eastern for PFL 3. It's on ESPN 2 as well as ESPN Plus. Jordan, thank you. Ray, thank you, guys. I'm such a fan of both you guys. I really appreciate you guys coming up.
Man, I appreciate you.
Appreciate it.
Anytime. Take care, guys.
All right. Take care.